You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
August the 18th, 2020. Tonight will be the second night of the Democrat 2020 convention. Opening last night has to be a virtual event because they can't all gather in one place. And it had an American theme, basically calling Trump a threat to our democracy, but also showing reverence and honor to the Pledge of Allegiance, the national anthem, and even a prayer by a pastor who used the name Jesus Christ. Now, I assume they're probably going to have a rabbi represent the Jewish faith maybe tonight or one of the nights, and a Muslim imam. I don't know, but I'm sure they're going to spread the religion thing around. That's fine. But the fact that they spent so much showing reverence for the Pledge of Allegiance, the national anthem, the very thing those on the left have been condemning and saying, it doesn't represent us, it's racist and everything else, and yet the Dems thought we better do something about that because we need to try to bring some of the Democrats back and maybe even get some Republicans to join us. And yet in the streets, the rioting continues and not one word mentioned about the rioting in the streets. Michelle Obama was the prime speaker, and at one point she referred to Trump's border agents throwing children into cages. She did not add that those cages were created and used during her husband's term, who Joe Biden was also serving at that time. And they weren't really cages, they were just detention areas. But don't let the facts get in the way of a good story. And what was Trump doing last night? Well, he was meeting with Minneapolis business owners, those who'd had their businesses destroyed by the riots in the wake of the George Floyd case and the rioting. And again, not one word from the Democrats about condemning the rioting. Oh, and by the way, Michelle Obama did not even mention Kamala Harris's name. Apparently her event was taped before Kamala Harris was selected. And she surely had time to redo it and put some praise in there about Kamala Harris, but just didn't want to be bothered with doing another taping, I guess. So we have the Postmaster General expected to testify before the Senate Homeland Security and Government Affairs on Friday. Of course, the U.S. Postal Service in the middle of this battle over mail-in ballots. The left claiming that the president's trying to shut down all the mailboxes so mail-in ballots can't be working. We're going to spend more time on this issue a little bit later in this hour. And of course, the mail-in issue comes up because of COVID, still happening in the nation. But if folks can go to the grocery store, go to the service station, go to the pharmacy, they can certainly go vote. But no, apparently not, because it doesn't fit the narrative that we have to have mail-in ballots opening up the door for more fraud. In the meantime, Governor Cuomo, who also spoke last night at the Democrat convention, calling the COVID flu the European flu, did not mention China one time with it. And also announcing that gyms across his state will finally be open the doors next week. Limited capacity, only 33% occupancy. I don't know how they're going to come up with a 33%. What's that, a third of a person coming in or a short person and two tall people? Who knows? A Virginia state senator charged with damaging a Confederate monument in Portsmouth because during that process, a demonstrator was critically injured when the statue was torn down. He got in the way as they're bringing it down. Well, that's not something we intended. She's now charged. Good. Home building, far more energetic in July than expected. President Trump announcing he will pardon Susan B. Anthony. She was arrested for voting illegally in 1872 for the Republican ticket. And now he's giving a full and complete pardon for the woman's rights activist. The anniversary of the 19th Amendment giving the women the right to vote. The North Korean dictator is ordering all pet dogs be confiscated. He says anybody who has a pet dog is living in the Western decadence. The ordinary people raise pigs and livestock, not dogs. So he wants all the dogs brought in. They have already started rounding up pets. And they say, we have identified households that have pet dogs. And they can either bring them in and give them up, or we'll go take them and we'll put them down. Many fear they're going to be just served as food. That's what they're doing in North Korea. Oh, Christine Byers, a reporter for a TV station in St. Louis, just tweeted, St. Louis County Police Board meeting presentation on training just interrupted by porn on the Zoom interview screen. I guess they got some training at the police academy that time.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
So are you ready to get out from the COVID-19 scare? We might still need to be careful in some areas. I do encourage businesses to make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And of course, if you open up and then a client or an employee or someone else surfaces with COVID-19, you need to reevaluate what's going on. I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. They can determine at a very reasonable cost what you need to do before you open. Once you are open, and as you move forward, it just makes good sense, doesn't it? Wellington Environmental, for 30 years, has been treating situations at hospitals, schools, daycare centers, private homes. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest, best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I guess I grew up on an older road, a pedal to the metal, always did what I told. Until I found out that my brand new clothes came secondhand from the rich kids next door. When I grew up fast, I guess I grew up mean. There's a thousand things inside my head I wish I ain't seen. And now I just wander through a real bad dream, feeling like I'm coming apart at the seams. But thank you, Jack Daniels, old number 7. Tennessee whiskey got me drinking in heaven. And I'm...
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
This election is the most important in the modern history of this country. In response to the unprecedented crises we face, we need an unprecedented response, a movement like never before, of people who are prepared to stand up and fight for democracy and decency.
Wow, that's a great statement. Did you know who was saying that? Well, just listen to the words. This election is so important. We need, at this time, need people to stand up to fight for decency and a moral approach to government and our life in this country. I mean, everything good about our country, that man just flat laid it out. That's exactly what I wanted to hear. That was from the Democrat National Convention last night. The speaker was, do you know who the speaker was? Well, you probably do. It was Bernie. Bernie was speaking up last night. Bernie Sanders. And what he said, I didn't watch the event last night. If you did, praise to you. I hope you didn't get sick too often. I didn't watch the whole thing. I knew I'd pull what I wanted today and do some quick reviews of it. That was fine with me. I'll tell you right now, I'll do the Republican convention the same way. But Bernie's saying everything I wanted to hear. I mean, he almost had me in his hand. I'm listening to this when I'm laying this program out today, and I'm listening to that. Golly, Bernie, I did not know we had so much in common. He almost had me. I mean, if I'd been sitting in a beanbag eating Cheetos in my mama's basement, I would have stood up and said, Hallelujah, And I would have touched the TV, see if I could reach Bernie. I mean, that's how much I was pulled to his remarks. He almost had me. He almost did until this statement.
We need Joe Biden as our next president. Let me take this opportunity to say a word to the millions of people who supported my campaign this year and in 2016. Our campaign ended several months ago, but our movement continues and is getting stronger every day. Many of the ideas we fought for that just a few years ago were considered radical are now mainstream. But let us be clear. If Donald Trump is reelected, all the progress we have made will be in jeopardy.
Well, again, I like that last statement. I like that last thing. If Trump's reelected, all you've been trying to do will be in jeopardy. But, I mean, his opening statement that you heard, I mean, you almost had me, Bernie. You had me. It's like trying to land that whopper of a fish. You get it up close to the boat. It's going to be any moment. Just slip the net under and kind of, and it's off the hook. That's the way I was, Bernie. You almost had me, but I got off because your next remark was, we need Joe Biden. Yeah, we need Joe Biden. Mike Huckabee, former governor, of course, and also a Fox analyst, wrote a piece for FoxNews.com. And in this, he points out the Democratic Party is a schizophrenic organization at the moment, putting some of its worst personalities on display for the whole country to see. The Democrat National Convention lineup this week is a seemingly random mashup of unlikable establishment figures and polarizing ideological extremists, featuring swamp creatures such as Bill and Hillary Clinton, along with self-proclaimed Democratic socialists such as Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Senator Bernie Sanders. Huckabee also points out that after Biden had locked up his nomination, that he, rather than actually becoming more centrist, he had teamed up with Bernie Sanders to craft a unity platform for the DNC. And Huckabee points out this features some of the most radical policies debated during the presidential primary season. Everything that Bernie was pushing in his proposals that had his supporters loving him, they're trying to put into Biden's mind and lap. And the way Mike Huckabee writes it, Bernie wasn't just allowed to add a little seasoning to the main dish. Biden let him pretty much rewrite the entire menu. And he points out Ocasio-Cortez also playing a prominent role in shaping Biden's platform. She is co-chair of the Biden campaign's climate task force, sponsor of the so-called Green New Deal, helped shape that $2 trillion climate plan that Biden recently unveiled. So she's going to be in the speaker's lineup, but she's only going to get 60 seconds, and they are looking at that as a snub to the progressive wing of the party. The darling star of the Democrat left, far left fringe, is only going to get 60 seconds to speak. And she's tried to take the attitude, well, you know, I can make the most of 60 seconds than anyone else. After all, I was a barista. I can fix you a cafe latte really quickly. No, she's upset. Those who support her are upset. But the Democrat National Committee realizes, yeah, we've got to pay them some attention, and we're doing some of the things, but rather than telling other speakers to cut back 30 seconds here and there so we can maybe give her at least 3 minutes or maybe even 4.5 minutes, nope. Michelle Obama got 17 minutes last night. Granted, she should have it, I guess, as their star speaker. But they also spent a lot of time on production values and so forth, just trying to engage you like you're watching a Hollywood movie presentation. And in fact, you were. Because a lot of Hollywood elites were all behind it. They were basically selling soap. Or like I always like to say, if you don't have steak, sell the sizzle. That's what they're trying to do. Sell the sizzle. And one of those they had presenting last night, standing in the middle of two roads that diverged like a fork in the road, perfect location, John Kasich, former Ohio governor, still has an R behind his name, but he's not a Republican. But he was there to try to appeal to any Republicans leaning closer to the Democrat Party, or at least thinking, is there room for me under this tent? But worry a little bit about Joe Biden. I mean, is Biden going to really be in charge, or is it going to be Kamala Harris and the far, far left? Well, Kasich wanted you to believe that Biden is his own man. Nobody's going to boss him around. Just listen.
America is at a crossroads. Sometimes elections represent a real choice. And I know that Joe Biden, with his experience and his wisdom and his decency, can bring us together to help us find that better way. They fear Joe may turn sharp left and leave them behind. I don't believe that, because I know the measure of the man. It's reasonable, faithful, respectful. And you know, no one pushes Joe around.
But he'll probably go where they lead him, whether or not they push him. Joe, take my hand, follow me. We'll get you into the next room. Now, that was harsh. I mean, it's kind of mocking the fact that he might be dealing with the onset of Alzheimer's, dementia, or something, and that's not fair and it's not right, and I do honestly apologize for that inflection and that approach. But I don't apologize for the fact that he is not going to be his own man. They're already surrounding him with all these far, far leftists. I mean, he got to that position because he kept moving closer to them. He reversed himself on the Hyde Amendment. The Hyde Amendment said no federal dollars to be spent on abortions unless it's the woman had been raped or the life of the mother, things of this nature. And he's a devout Catholic, but he changed his entire view on what I would assume is a most crucial issue for Catholics, and him in particular, and he waffled and said, yeah, I can go the other way. Because I got to if I'm going to get the votes. And the Bernie Sanders people, so incensed that Biden's at the top of the ticket and not Bernie. And on top of that, then he selects Kamala Harris, which they also consider is not going to help them. You hear all these stories from the mainstream media quoting sources of chaos inside the Trump administration. If by chance Biden ends up winning, the chaos in the White House will not be in closed door sessions. It'll be right in your face. You will not need mainstream media to tell you, and in fact they won't. But it'll be too hard to ignore. Sanders last night did also speak, both basically begging his supporters to accept Biden, essentially suggesting, as Mike Huckabee wrote, hold your nose and vote for Biden. Well, because basically orange man bad. We got to defeat Trump. That's it. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer to speak tonight, followed by the loser of the 2004 presidential election, John Kerry. And the party's 2016 nominee, Hillary Clinton, will deliver an address to the convention. Still trying to make herself relevant, of course. But go back to those remarks of Kasich saying that Biden is his own man, that no one will push Joe around. Senator Ted Cruz of Texas had a very direct response to that comment from Kasich.
So John Kasich is promising voters, don't pay attention to all the craziness on the Democratic side. Joe isn't that crazy. Well, you know who didn't believe John Kasich? Bernie Sanders didn't believe John Kasich, because Bernie Sanders stood up there and said, our radical socialist agenda has won. We've taken over the Democratic Party, and Joe Biden is ours. And that really underscores the stakes of this election. If the Democrats win, you are looking at Bernie in ascension. You're looking at AOC. You're looking at, mark my words, Elizabeth Warren as Treasury Secretary. Bernie might be Secretary of State. These are radicals, and that's where the Democratic Party is, and I don't think that's where the American people are.
You should be riding through your towns, ringing a bell, just as sure as Paul Revere did, shouting out, the British are coming, the British are coming. You should be yelling out, the liberals are going to take over the nation if Biden is elected. Because it's not going to be Biden that's actually going to be president. It'll be Kamala and all those others behind the scenes. This is a true Wizard of Oz story. Pay no attention to the man or woman behind the curtain, but they're the ones pulling the strings, pulling the levers. Ted Cruz absolutely right about that. And he narrowed in on something that was absolutely ignored last night by the Democrat National Convention. Just listen.
To go tonight without saying a meaningful word about the riots, about the police officers being murdered, it's an example of how the Democratic Party, they're getting more and more extreme. And it's all because they hate Donald Trump. That's what they stand for, is radical leftism and hating Trump. I don't think that's a majority vision in America.
I don't think it is either. And I said the other day, I think the rioting in the street and the violence is going to play a much bigger part in this election than they want. And they've not been condemning it. And by keeping their mouths shut, they're condoning it. Oh, and Al Gore also wants you to pay attention to what he has to say about things. Sure, why not? We'll take a break. We come back. You'll hear the voice of Al Gore with all of his reasoning and wisdom.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations.
Good vibrations.
She's giving me the excitations.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
During a pandemic, there are lots of older voters and voters of all ages with a pre-existing condition who worry that they can't breathe safely standing in line to vote. So in effect, by tampering with the Postal Service, he is in effect putting his knee on the neck of American democracy and trying to make it impossible for people to vote by mail.
Al Gore, former vice president, would be president himself, but didn't make it happen. And he said something in there. Of course, he's in the process of accusing Donald Trump of trying to disenfranchise voters because of the pandemic. He said voters of all ages with pre-existing conditions where they can't breathe safely standing in line. And then adds a line, Trump, he's putting his knee on the neck of American democracy. You know what he's doing right there? He's making a comparison to George Floyd, the knee and the neck, I can't breathe. That's pretty shameful. But the libs, they think that's all fair game. He's basically mocking the death of George Floyd as he also put his knee into the back of his neck and he said, I can't breathe. What do you think would happen if some Republican had made that comparison? But the fact is, you're not getting the facts from the left when it comes to what's happening with the mail-in ballots and who's to blame and what's going on. We're going to do more on that in the next segment, but I'll point this out to you. There's been on Twitter circulating rapidly, originally, at least in one case, posted by former NBA star and vocal leftist Rex Chapman of locked USPS mailboxes in Burbank, California, insinuating locks had been placed on those mailboxes recently, calling it, quote, a disgrace and immediate threat to American democracy, suggesting if you're going to try to vote by mail, you cannot get your ballot into the mailbox. They're locking them up. It's a lie. He has yet to delete the tweet or issue a clarification, and the tweet masters are letting it stand. They haven't pulled it off. They have not put up there what they said they would do with Trump and anyone else who made a statement they considered false, put a note that the above information is wrong, check your facts, it's not right. If they did, they would point out that picture came from 2016. And locks were put on boxes in Burbank because thieves were breaking into the mailboxes looking for checks or whatever else they could take. But they would have you believe they're all being locked up by Trump so you can't get your ballot into the mailbox. Another lie. And if you want to talk about how voting can be a fraud and yet the left wants to believe, no, you can't do that. How would they explain what they've done? And this is not voting, but it shows you again the things you can do with the mail and what you're trying to get away with. They just arrested more than 20 in California, an unemployment fraud scheme, collecting something like $250,000 of coronavirus money using California inmates' information, falsely filing the scam and getting $250,000 of bogus unemployment claims for guys in jail, using the post office to deliver their fraud. We'll take a break. When we come back, let's get into what's really behind this claim that mail-in balloting is the only way to go. Please stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Interesting how the speaker has been trying to literally hold hostages for families and businesses and won't bring the House back in for that. But when it comes to this continued desire to get, and we're not talking about enough money to keep the post office running. Their revenues have actually been up since the pandemic. She's been trying to get about $75 billion. And keep in mind, their total budget is about that amount for the entire year. So, she's been trying to make a money grab for a long time, well before COVID. She's just once again trying to take advantage of a crisis.
That is the minority whip, House Minority Whip, Steve Scalise, Republican of Louisiana, criticizing House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Democrat of California. She would not bring back members to be holding any hearings and any voting on crisis relief, additional stimulus plans to help those suffering during the COVID. Nope, not going to do that. But let's bring them back and look into this mailbox controversy that we've got President Trump shutting down mailboxes, locking them up, taking them off the streets. It's a total lie. And as Scalise said, she's been trying to get about $75 billion. That's the total budget for an entire year of the post office. But she wants $75 billion, suggesting we have to have it if we're going to have vote by mail. And we must have vote by mail because it's too dangerous for our people to go out there and cast ballots. And they're playing that card to the top of the deck every time. I mean, they're slamming that down, saying, here's why we have to do this. And I make a point constantly on the left that we got people that we've had so many die already, and you want people to actually have to go in person and vote, risk their lives just to vote? We've already had 170,000 Americans die. Pelosi, along with Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, issuing a statement saying the Postmaster General and top Postal Service leadership must answer to Congress and the American people as to why they're pushing these dangerous new policies that threaten to silence the voices of millions just months before the election. I guess you have to consider that there might be elderly people in the Republican Party as well, you think? Now, I don't know the demographic breakout of who's got the oldest voters or who has those most susceptible. We do know it's a fact. If you're looking at race as a barrier, yes, black Americans are suffering more from COVID than white Americans, either past health issues or improper health care and things of that nature. But Pelosi would have you believe that nobody will be able to vote in person without fear of dying. I'll say it again. If you can go to the store to pick up something, your pharmacy or service station, or ride a bus or anything else like that, you can certainly go vote. The Postal Service did send word the other day to all 50 states. You could have delays in getting these back. And you know why? Because they're basically doing them in bulk mail. They're not going to be first class. So they want to blame again Trump. And they try to point out, we've got all these post office boxes being pulled off the street corners. And of course, I told you in the previous segment, some are claiming the boxes are being locked up if they are there. And that is a lie. The video that showed that was from 2016, and it had nothing to do with the election between Hillary and Trump at that time. It had to do with, in the Burbank area, thieves were breaking into mailboxes trying to see if they could come up with any checks that they could forge. And Democrats would have you believe mail-in balloting was absolutely safe, there'll be no problems. We know better than that. We have seen the evidence. And it's not just the Democrat Party that has cheated in fraud like that. Republicans have as well. But I noted for you the other day that we had something like 200,000 that were not even deliverable in the New York primary because they had the wrong people, the wrong address. But then again, how many got the mail and the ballot and went ahead and filled it out anyway, acting like they were the person it was intended for? We'll never know. But Pelosi is calling all these members back to Capitol Hill to consider new legislation, saying the post office is election central because of the coronavirus epidemic. And Trump is trying to stop everything. See, he's crippling the U.S. Postal Service. The truth is, mailboxes were removed because they're always being removed. During the Obama-Biden administration, 14,000 were removed. And in some cases, you might have four or five boxes in one place. They go out and take a couple of them away. If they have a high volume in that area, they're going to leave them either as is or take maybe one or two away. By the way, of course, the Postal Service, if you just woke up, I assume you know, has been losing money constantly. Just only recently has it begun to look a little bit better. But in 2009, the Postmaster General proposed moving to five-day-per-week mail delivery, trying to cut costs. President Obama criticized the service that year for failing to keep up with the private sector. In other words, suggesting you need to be private sector, as Trump has said. And the Obama-Biden administration considered closing nearly 3,700 post office locations and cutting 12,000 postal jobs. So if there's any shortage of people and places right now, look back at history. And when Trump came into office, the USPS Board of Governors was in shambles and inoperable. I'm looking at a piece written by, let me get his source here, because I always want to give the proper information to you, the chairman of the U.S. House Oversight Committee, Jason Chaffetz. He said when Trump came in, the Board of Governors was in shambles and inoperable because Obama had neglected the board. Not enough members to even form a quorum. Again, Scalise says what you have is if you jump into relying on all these mail-in ballots, you are opening the door to fraud.
What Speaker Pelosi has been trying to do, again, long before the pandemic, is mandate that every single a person on voting rolls gets a ballot mailed to them. And as we know, no state has 100% accurate voting rolls. And so if you have millions of ballots just out there, who knows where, and houses where they might have registered people illegally, they would get ballots. Yeah. That's not a safe system. That's not going to protect the integrity of people who are voting legally. So why don't we make sure that the process works properly? Not mailing ballots to everybody on the rolls, even people illegally on rolls, would be ludicrous.
It is, but that's what the Democrats want to do. Why? Because I think the more ballots they get out there, the more likely they can get folks to sign on the ballots that they probably don't have reason to do, have authority to do. They know what they're doing. They know exactly what they're doing. But they insist, as Pelosi said, in a time of pandemic, the Postal Service is election central. Americans should not have to choose between their health and their vote. There are folks, yeah, that should not be out there doing that. And yes, you can mail in ballots and you can request. You can send a letter or contact your local election office and have them mail you a ballot, and then you turn around and send it back in. Don't wait till the last days to do so, but you can do that. We have mail-in ballots on a continuous basis and absentee balloting as well. But what they want to do is just flat send ballots to anyone and everyone, even if you didn't request it. And maybe going to an address that person has moved and someone else lives there, and maybe they're not even an American citizen. But now they got a chance to vote, fill it out, send it back. So Pelosi's doing this, bringing all the members back to Capitol Hill, and she said, I want the postmaster in front of me. Well, he's also going to testify before the Senate Homeland Security and Government Affairs Committee Friday. That's chaired by Senator Ron Johnson, Republican of Wisconsin. They're going to hold a virtual hearing with Postmaster General DeJoy. And again, in the process of all this, we have folks saying that if there are issues, let's know what they are. But I encourage you, find out the facts. Don't buy the stories. And certainly look around you. How many people are moving around? Do you think all of those will suddenly say, well, I can't vote because I'm scared to go outside? And yet they do. The Democrats insist Trump is trying to disenfranchise Americans if he won't allow them to mail in ballots. And we've already documented how many times ballots were sent in and they were caught in fraud, and or they were sent to the wrong address, or they got kicked back because no one was there to receive them. And it's not even the Postal Service at that point. It's how the states, how quickly the states get it out and how fast they can process it. And they're not equipped to handle that on the state level. Believe me, they are not equipped to handle it. That's why some are saying we may not have all the votes counted until not Tuesday of the election day, not even Wednesday, but maybe Friday or Saturday. And if we need some more votes, maybe we'll find them somewhere, you know? All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, I'd mentioned at the beginning of today's program, I got some comments about something that happened on the Democrat National Convention last night, which may anger some people, but I'm going to go ahead and say it anyway. If you don't want to hear it, don't stick around. Because I'm going to say it, I already said I would, and I'm not going to back down. This needs to be said and pointed out. Please stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
When I was three, drove 100,000 miles on my knees. Hauled marbles and rocks and thought twice before I hauled a Barbie doll bed for the girl next door. She tried to pay me with a kiss and I began to understand there's something women like about a pickup man.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Lord, we recognize that we are living in challenging times that call us to live up to the highest angels of our national character. As we confront the turbulent winds of a global pandemic, economic uncertainty, and civil discord, may your gracious hand lead us to the peaceful shores of love, justice, and civility. Help us, O Lord, to be ever mindful of the most vulnerable among us, from our golden generation to our youngest children, desde nuestros inmigrantes to our veterans, from our healthcare workers to our school teachers. Give us a heart of compassion and grace. This nation, from Miami to Minneapolis and from Portland to El Paso, ask you to shepherd us to a hope-filled vision that does justice, ama la misericordia, and walks humbly before you. I pray this in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. That was a Hispanic pastor in Florida. He leads the National Latino Evangelical Coalition, Pastor Salguero. He delivered the prayer last night for the Democrat National Convention. A Christian prayer, even invoking the name Jesus Christ. This pastor, obviously a deeply devoted man. And I believe every word he said and what he said in his prayer. I just don't know how many on the left accept it, because they do not seem to be wrapped up in God, the Bible, in any direction, be it Jesus or otherwise. Now, I'm looking over the schedule for the next two nights, three nights. You got tonight, tomorrow, and then you got Thursday night. And I have not. I'm sure they're going to have a rabbi at some point, maybe offer a prayer, and maybe a Muslim imam, and I don't know who else they're going to bring. I know today they got a Muslim delegates assembly earlier in the day. And they have a Jewish American community meeting also this afternoon. Native American caucus meeting at some point. So they're going to try to honor and make note and call attention to all religions, which is good. But I got to tell you, you may not like what I'm going to say, but I wonder how many of those listening to the pastor and his words really believe in God, much less Jesus. Same can be said for a rabbi when he offers his blessings, or a Muslim. But the Democrats have gone so far left, they're still trying their best to make themselves connected to what they know represents the mass of America. And I think the fact that they had the Christian prayer last night, thinking this is our first night out, we need to make sure we can pull everyone in under the tent we can, and if we put a Muslim up there with his prayer, there's not going to be a good idea. And maybe even a rabbi wouldn't work. So let's just go with this Latino pastor and his prayer. And it was, you didn't get to hear all the prayer. It was a very effective prayer. I would never judge someone for their religion or try to say if they really are practicing or not. I am a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. And I would have no hope except for Jesus and his blood shed for me. I believe that. You don't have to believe me on my belief, and nor do I have to believe yours. But what I'm wrestling with is how much do they believe it? And then here's something else they had last night at the Democrat National Convention. They paid honor to our national anthem.
Oh,
I had originally hoped we would play the entire minute 30, but I ran a little bit long, so I'm having to shortchange it. But it was a powerful rendition. And even members of the left, Rob Reiner, who hates Trump so much and hates America, from what I've seen, praised it. And even liberal Alyssa Milano said, "I'm so happy I'm an effing Democrat." Again, referring to the national anthem, the children singing it. This is the party that has turned its back on our flag, has praised those who burn the flag, has praised those who show no respect for our national anthem, and yet last night they wrapped themselves in the flag. Hypocrites all the way around on that point. Total hypocrites. They're never going to convince me that they really love the flag, the country, and the Constitution until they show that they do it, not just mouth the words and act like it. Again, my apologies that we had to cut the national anthem short. It was a beautiful piece. We'll be back tomorrow. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.